Luke chapter 10. We're going to read verses 30 through 35. And I think I gave the young man the title of Attitudes in Giving, but we will be teaching of that. But really, what we're going to see is what characterized the outreach of the Good Samaritan. And I want you to see that in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 35. Luke chapter 10, 30 through 35. If you have your place, let's all stand, and we will read God's word, and then we'll pray, and we'll preach. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.'" Amen. What a tremendous story, the story of the Good Samaritan. Let's pray. Father, help us as we read your word, as we study your word this morning. Lord, I do pray that you would take my mouth and my language and my tongue and help me to preach with the power of the Holy Spirit. Hide me behind the cross. Help us all to hear your word, but not only hear it, but apply it to our hearts. And if that's so, we'll leave here glorifying your name. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray it all. Amen. I think all of us have heard the Good Samaritan. In Sunday school, we've heard it. In church, and children's church. Now, I want to give you, first of all, just a bird's eye view of what the interpretation of this scripture is, and then I want to apply it towards our attitude in giving. But first of all, I want you to notice the condition of the man that was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell amongst thieves, and they stripped him and left him half dead, or foredead. And that's a picture of sinful man. We have been stripped of all justice, dead in our trespasses and sins, and that was my picture. That's your picture if you do not know Christ. Then we have the confusion of the man when the priest and the Levite come by and do not help. And I want you to know, religion cannot help your depraved situation. Good works cannot help you. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can. Religion can see a need. They looked upon him, but they did not help him. And you see, religion can see a need, but only Christ can meet that need. Then I want you to see the compassion of the unwanted Savior, the Samaritan. He went to him. He bound up his wounds. He took care of him. And it's a picture of the Savior who came to us, saved us, and taken care of us today, and will come back again someday for us. I'm glad that Jesus Christ is the Good Samaritan. Now, as we enter into the message in verses 33 to 35, which has to do with the attitudes of the Samaritan on his outreach. And it should be the attitudes that you and I have as we reach out for the lost. First of all, I want you to notice that that his outreach was characterized by compassion. Look in verse 33. "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him." It reminds me of Jesus Christ when he was standing above Jerusalem. And in Matthew chapter 23, he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, And ye would not. I can just imagine Jesus Christ saying those words and tears coming from his eyes. He had compassion. Paul had a compassion for the lost. He even said in Romans 10:1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And he goes on to say that if I could, I'd even trade places in hell for them. He loved lost people. We too need that kind of compassion. Oh God, give me a compassionate heart for the lost. Help us to see the lost as God sees them. Sometimes we see people and we see the exterior and we say he's that and he's this and he's yonder. But we don't see their soul. Compassion. There's a little poem that I got. It says, oh God, break my heart for those that are going to hell. Open mine eyes that I may see their need. Open my lips that the gospel I may swiftly tell. Give me compassion on bended knees. And folks, that's what folks around this world need, is compassion. They need to know that you care. They need to know that you want the best for them. So the first thing that characterized this Samaritan in his outreach was compassion. The second thing I want you to notice that characterized this man's outreach, he seized a created opportunity. Look in chapter 10 and verse 34. It says, and he went to him. You see, he had the same opportunity that the Levite saw and that the priest saw. All three of them had the same opportunity. Only one seized upon that opportunity. It was a created opportunity. It was not something that God had telegraphed them and said, hey, I've got a man there on the side of the road. Would you help him? No, it was just an opportunity. And the Levite said, I'm not going to participate. The priest said, I'm not going to participate. The Samaritan said, hey, this is a created opportunity. I'm going to do something about it. He went to him. You see, God gives us opportunities to serve him. I was on my way in March to Louisiana to a mission conference. And on the way, I had a flat tire. And I no longer had parked my car off the highway. And somebody parked right behind me. I was calling the insurance to get them to come help me. And you know, nowadays you're sort of leery if somebody's going to help you. And the guy says, hey, I have a gas station up the road and I can help you. And I said, for you on the insurance company, I'll accept your help. And he not only took the tire off and put the little donut on there, you know those little things, they're not tires, they're donuts, on there. And then he said, follow me. And I followed him. We went to this gas station where he was the owner of that gas station. And he said, let me fix your tire. And he gets the tire and he fixes it. And he takes the donut off, puts the other tire on. While all of this is happening, I said, well, when you get through working, can I speak to you about God? He says, well, you better speak to me about God while I'm working because I've got lots to do. So while he was working, I was witnessing to him. And when he finished the tire, I said, would you like to accept Jesus? He says, I've never done that. I'll do it. And he got saved. Now I know why I had a flat tire. See, God sometimes gives us an opportunity, but we don't seize that opportunity. And many Christians have the attitude of the Levite and the priest, I'm too busy. I got lots to do. I cannot stop and help. Oh, that God would give us a vision that when something happens, it's not happenstance. God says in Romans 8:20 that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And even those bad things and those uncomfortable things are opportunities that you and I have to tell others of Jesus Christ. That's what the Samaritan did. Look at the third thing about the Samaritan's outreach. He changed his schedule to meet someone else's need. Look at verse 34, and he went to him. You see, the Levite had a schedule. I got to serve God. I don't have time for you. Wow. The priest said, I've got to do sacrifice. And I can't sacrifice my schedule for you. You look at your life, and you have plans. Now, I woke up this morning, and I wrote down some things I have planned to do. Because why do you do that, Danny? Because I'm a lame brain, and I can't remember anything. They say that when you think on something, you memorize something, or you have something that you store in your brain, that a wrinkle is made in your brain. Well, they made a CAT scan of me, and mine is as slick as a bowling ball. And so I got to write everything down. And I remember one time I left a little thing, a schedule of things that I needed to do that day. And I even wake up, take a bath, eat breakfast. Brother Jones, are you still? Yep, I do that. And so I invited a preacher to preach at the college when I was student body president. And I accidentally left that list there. He lifts up the list and he says, y'all ought to pray for y'all student body president. If somebody has to remind themselves to take a bath, there's something wrong with them. One of my favorite verses is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct thy paths. And you see, if we recognize, God, you're in on everywhere I go and everything and every person that comes into my pathway. One of my prayers is, God, help me to see those that come my way that I might be a blessing to them. Because you see, folks, we're not going to see each other like this again. If I were to come back next Sunday, some of you might not be here. I might not be here. You don't know. We do not know when we walk out that door what's going to happen. And yet, there are times that God brings in our lives something and it disrupts our schedule. And the Samaritan had the attitude, I'll change my schedule to meet someone else's need. He had compassion. He seized upon a created opportunity. He changed his schedule. I want you to know, in verse 34, he cared for this man. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. He cared for this man. He not only had compassion, but he cared. We see the lost, and maybe we might even have a little sympathy for them, but we do nothing for their spiritual need. Caring is compassion in action. Caring is using those created opportunities to tell others about Jesus Christ. Caring is choosing to pray, choosing to win souls, choosing to give, choosing to get involved. Do we really care? One of the saddest commentaries in the Bible is a commentary that says, no man careth for my soul. This man had compassion, but he showed that he cared. The fifth thing that I want you to notice about this man's outreach, he had a cash commitment. Look in verse 35. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave them to the host, and he said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. You see, this is the reason some do not have compassion. They know it's going to cost. You see, when you win a drunkard to the Lord, it might cost you to hire him so he won't go back into the drinking. It might cost you some time to tell him, hey, let's get off of that booze. And I remember I won a drunkard to the Lord here in Fort Worth, in Worth Baptist, when I had a Spanish church. And his name was Pedro, but he liked to be called Pete. And he was a veteran and of the Vietnam War. And Pete was an alcoholic. if he drunk one drop, he drunk until they had to take him to the hospital. I went him to the Lord, and I said, Pete, do you really want to get rid of this booze habit? Yes, sir. I went him to the Lord at his home. I said, okay, Pete, would you accept my help? Yes, I want your help. Okay, let's go in here and see how many bottles of beer you got. Let's get rid of this. And I opened up the bottles of beer and poured it down the sink. He looked at me. I said, help me. There's a bunch of bottles here. We got to get rid of it. He said, Brother Jones, that's money. Yeah, but that's no good money. And then we took all those empty bottles, because you could get money for the empty bottles. We took all the empty bottles out the back. I said, now we're going to shoot them down with rocks. And we're going to hit them. Target practice. But that's money. You don't need that ugly money. And we got rid of his booze. We got rid of his bottles. He didn't have an excuse to go back. I said, Pete, you're not going to get rid of a bad habit if you have it sitting around. I mean, if you want to quit smoking, but you have four cigarettes dancing in your pocket, you're not going to quit. Amen. You want to quit, you got to destroy them. Get rid of them. And one of the things that costs is time, effort. I had a man that was on heroin in Mexico, and in Mexico, the crack houses are, you go, you buy the heroin, and you consume the heroin right there. And this man finally got convicted, and he was saved, and he said, Brother Jones, I need help. We started helping him. And one thing is, he couldn't have money in his pocket. If he had money, he'd go to the crack house. So we arranged it so he was paid, and his wife got the money. But one day they slipped up at the job and they gave him a bonus and they gave it to him in cash. Guess where he went? He calls me from the crack house. He said, Brother Jones, this is me. What's the matter? His last name's Pulaski. He's Polish. Polish-Mexican. And I said, Brother Pulaski, what's the matter? He says, I'm at the crack house. Oh, brother, I thought you didn't have any money. Well, and he told me the story. I said, well, what's wrong? He said, Brother Jones, you need to pray. Well, I am praying for you. Get out of that place. I can't. What do you mean? Well, another man that was taking his heroin had a medical issue, and they cocked their machine guns, and they said, do any of y'all know how to pray? And he said, why? He said, because the guy in the other room there is dying. If he dies, we're going to kill all of you and go to another place and set up. And he said, Brother Jones, they're going to kill us. I said, we're praying. Can I get the church to pray? Yes, get everybody to pray. We prayed and prayed and prayed. God did a miracle in that other man's life. And he survived, and they let him go. He said, Brother Jones, I'm not ever going there again. I said, good. Well, that man now has a ministry to reaching crack cocaine addicts in Monterey, Mexico. He's renting his own place. He has a staff of about 10 people, and they're reaching out, getting those people off the streets. Years later, after this happened, he was walking down the street, and he came up to church, and he was sweating. I said, man, you must have been running. No, I'm just nervous. I said, why? I just passed the pickup truck of a guy who was at the taco stand, and he was getting some tacos, and he saw me. And he said, hey, Pulaski, haven't seen you in a long time. You know, I'm saved now. I'm Christian. I don't go to those places anymore. He says, good. I don't want to see you anymore. And he came and he was sweating. He says, oh, Brother Jones, that just brought up bad memories. Years afterwards, you got to spend some time with him. I mean, a little sermon won't get it. Sometimes you got to go and the wife would call me and say, would you go pick up this, my husband, he's in a bar. Brother, I've never been into bars except to get out drunks. I've gone in and got a drunk out of there. Does he owe anything? Yeah, well, here it is. Let's go. And sometimes it's helping them get over their cruda, their drunkenness, and giving them hot coffee and bathing them in cold water and just sitting with them. Compassion, commitment. You see, folks, if you're going to have compassion, it's going to have a cash commitment. It's going to cost you. Last example, and I'm finished. There was a deacon in a church that was always, and I'm not saying any deacons here do this, but there was a deacon in a church that was always against everything that the church wanted to do. We're going to do this. We're going to remodel this. And that cost too much. That cost too much. That cost too much. And then one day, the deacon all of a sudden changed his tune. And every time they'd say, let's do this, amen, I'm for it, everybody was surprised. And they asked him, brother, what changed your attitude? He said, well, brother, let me give you an example. I had a little grandson. When that grandson was born, before he was born, boy, it cost. The medical exams and all the treatments for the mama to make sure the baby was born right. Then when he was born, it cost more because he was in an incubator and diapers and formula and diapers and food and diapers and covers. And you know how it is. He said, you know, and that baby cost until it died a year later. And I learned that what's alive is going to cost. Once we buried it, paid the funeral expenses, that baby hasn't cost us a penny. And he says, that's why I'm for it now. If it's alive, it's going to cost. If it's dead and buried, not going to cost you anymore. Folks, this Good Samaritan did something that you and I can do towards mission. Here is a parable that we have the attitudes of giving. The attitude of the man that fell amongst thieves. What's mine is mine and I'm going to keep it. And he didn't. The attitude of the thieves is what's yours is mine and I'm going to take it. The attitude of the Levite and the priest were what's mine is mine and I'm not going to share it. But the attitude of the Samaritan is what's mine is yours and I will freely give it. That's what's going to change this world, is you and I being good Samaritans, with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're that man that fell amongst thieves. You might not feel destitute. You might not feel hurt. But you're wounded. And if you die with those sinful wounds, you're going to go to hell. We Baptists cannot help you, but Jesus can. The church cannot save you, but Jesus can. If you're here and you do not know Christ as your Savior, please receive Christ as your Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed, how many of us can say, Brother Danny, I know that I know that I know I'm going to heaven, not because I'm a Baptist, not because I've been baptized, not because I'm good. There is none good. Amen. Because one day I repented of my sin and trusted Christ as my Savior. I know I'm saved, and I know where I'm going. Raise your hand. How many of us can do that? Keep your hand up. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can put them down. Is there anyone here that would say, Brother Danny, I really am not sure. I have doubts. Would you pray for me? Is there someone like that? I'm not going to go to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if there's an inkling of a doubt, you ought to get that cleared. Brother Danny, pray for me. An amazement in our church a year ago, one of our Sunday school teachers got saved. You see, being a Sunday school teacher won't save you. Being a preacher won't save you. What saves you is trusting Christ as your Savior. Is there someone that would say, Brother Danny, pray for me? I'm not sure. I'd like for you to pray for me. Then the last question I want to ask, did God touch your heart during the message? Is there something that God touched your heart? Maybe a little bit more compassion, maybe a little bit more commitment, maybe a little bit more of caring or changing your schedule. I don't know how God has worked in your heart, because he'll work in your heart one way and he'll work in another heart another way. That's how the Holy Spirit is. But you would say with an uplifted hand, Brother Danny, God in some way or another, talk to me, pray for me. Is there someone like that? God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Several. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to give an invitation. And I would like to invite you to do something about what God has done in your heart. You can choose to just stay there, and the devil will say, hey, you can fix things up here. But I found out in my own life that when I want to get things fixed up with the Lord, a good old-fashioned altar is the best place to do it. As we stand, let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Brother Mosley's going to direct the singing. Pastor Mosley's going to be up here in front. If you need to speak with him in a particular way, if not, if you just need to come and fix things up with the Lord here at the altar, don't wait for someone else. Some have already started coming. Why don't you just go ahead and come, Pastor?